Welcome. You are listening to the U Urban Bible Study Weekly Leaders Training Podcast. The U curriculum is especially created by and for urban and multi-ethnic churches. This podcast is designed to help leaders lead a Bible study using Lifeway's U Urban Bible Study resources. Each week, we examine a biblical passage, review some questions teachers may face, and give a practical teaching tip. I'm Dr. Mark Crosston, General Editor for the U Bible Study Curriculum, and joining me today is Dr. Christina Zimmerman, our Content Editor. Hello, Christina.
Hello, Mark. Great to see you, or I should hear you. I should say hear you. This is a wonderful study. It continues to just bless my heart as we continue with Elijah living outside the comfort zone. We're in session four today, serve with loyalty. You know, many who claim to be followers of Christ run hot and cold in their faithfulness to God. You know, sometimes we're loyal to God and sometimes we're not. It's as if we're saying, "What have you done for me lately, God?" But God deserves our unwavering allegiance. He deserves loyalty always, no matter what we're going through. Our lesson today helps us to understand that. And it is from 1 Kings. We're still in 1 Kings, chapter 18, verses 20 through 26, and then 31 through 39.
So here's our point for today. God deserves our loyalty and service. And so what a great thought. And so let's look at this first section. Don't waver in loyalty to God. Don't waver in loyalty to God. So let me read verses 20 and 21. So Ahab summoned all the Israelites and gathered the prophets at Mount Carmel. Then Elijah approached all the people and said, "How long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. If Baal is God, follow him." But the people didn't answer him a word. And so here, don't waver in loyalty to God. And that's an important thing. So if I'm loyal, then I can't waver. So the whole idea of wavering suggests disloyalty. And so that's a very important thing. I can remember the late E.V. Hill, a great preacher and pastor in California, would always say that he would always measure people's LQ. He said, "Dr. Hill, what are you talking about? Their LQ." He said, "Their loyalty quotient." And so that's an important thing, that if you're going to be on the same team, if you're going to be going in the same way, in the same direction, then you can't waver in your loyalty. The Bible says the double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. What are you thinking about, Christina?
You know, God seeks our love, Mark. He seeks our love, and he won't tolerate when we're divided in our loyalty. I call that compromise, when we obey God in some things and we don't obey him in others. And Elijah challenged the Israelites. He told them to make up their minds. He told them to decide who they would serve. Moses did the same thing in Deuteronomy 30 when he told the Israelites to choose this day whom you will serve. And so the first commandment is clear: do not have other gods besides me. And that's in Exodus 20 and 3. But we do that all the time. We need to make up our minds whom we will serve.
And that's the way this passage says it. He asked the question, how long will you waver between two opinions? And so this has been apparently a problem for some period of time. Elijah just said, look, don't be some timey with God and make a decision. So look, nobody wants a spouse that's faithful part of the time, huh? You don't want a car that can take you to work half the time, right? You don't want food that's good just half the time, right? We don't want wavering in our lives. We want consistency in our lives, and God wants that too. So what do? Don't worship other gods. So let's look at verses 22 through 26. Then Elijah said to the people, "I am the only remaining prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let two bulls be given to us. They are to choose one bull for themselves, cut it in pieces, and place it on wood, but not to light the fire. I will prepare the other bull and place it on the wood, but not light the fire. Then you call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord. The God who answers with fire, he is God." All the people answered, "That's fine." Then Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, "Since you are so numerous, choose for yourselves one bull and prepare it first. Then call on the name of your God, but don't light the fire." So they took the bull that he gave them, prepared it, and called on the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, "Baal, answer us." But there was no sound. No one answered. Then they danced around the altar that they had made. So there it is. They're trying their best. They're trying their best to get Baal to answer. But the ultimate point is, don't worship other gods. There's only one God. There's only one true and living God. That's why Elijah was willing to call on this particular contest, because he knew that only one God could answer. He knew that only one God could hear. He knew that only one God can respond with fire on the altar. And so this was not a gamble. This was a sure thing, because he knew exactly what was going to happen. And so the reason we don't want to worship other gods is because other gods can't see, other gods can't hear, other gods can't answer. What are you thinking, Christina?
Yes, Mark. And look at the odds in this. It was Elijah and one God, the true God, against 450 prophets. Isn't that amazing? And what Elijah did, putting God and himself on the line, as you said, took a lot of faith. But Elijah learned this faith through what he had gone through previously. God took care of him through birds and widows. He healed a boy through Elijah. So he had plenty of reasons for confidence in the Lord. This was an amazing circumstance that took place.
All right. Yes, it absolutely was. And so just a reminder to us that only God, only a true and living God, is able to answer our prayers and call on. And so don't be persuaded or dissuaded, maybe I should say, because of the crowd. Right here, we got one guy on one side, 450 on the other side. And often we will doubt ourselves and doubt our God because there's so many other people maybe on the other side. Elijah did not doubt God nor what God could do just because he was in the minority. Huh? So one against 450 is one can easily be 450 when God is on your side, right? So don't worship other gods. Here's the last point. Remember, God is the one true God. the one true God. Let's start at verse number 31. Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the 12 sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, Israel will be your name. And he built an altar with the stones in the name of the Lord. Then he made a trench around the altar large enough to hold about 4 gallons. Next, he arranged the wood, cut up the bull, and placed it on the wood. He said, fill your 4 water pots with water and pour it on the offering to be burned on the wood. Then he said a second time, and they did this a second time. And then he said a third time, and they did it a third time. So the water ran all around the altar. He even filled the trench with water. At the time for offering the evening sacrifice, the prophet Elijah approached the altar and said, Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known that you are God in Israel and I am your servant, and that your word I have done, and that at your word I have done all these things. Answer me, Lord. Answer me so that this people will know that you are the Lord our God, and that you have turned their hearts back. Then the Lord's fire fell and consumed the burnt offering, the wood, the stones, and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. When all the people saw it, they fell face down and said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. Wow, what a powerful scene this is. This, you know, I think for many people, this is one of their favorite stories in the Bible about looking at the power of God and how Elijah defeated the prophets of Baal. So you got to remember, God is the one true God. So, Elijah set it up. They poured the water 3 times on the altar. But when God answered, the fire came down from God and consumed the offering, the wood, the stones, the dust, and the water. You couldn't be more clear than that.
You know, Mark, this would make a believer out of me if I saw something like that happen. That was an amazing scene. And here, Elijah required more of God than he did of Baal. You know, we recognize that. Elijah didn't suggest that the prophets of Baal wet down their sacrifice once or twice or even 3 times. Yet Elijah did this, and he was confident that it was no harder for God to ignite the wet sacrifice than it was for him to set a dry one on fire. So it was amazing. The prophets of Baal, they had the passion, the commitment, the devotion, the sincerity, and they had a lot of energy because they were dancing. But what they did not have was a God in heaven who could answer by fire. That's amazing, Mark.
So this is a great lesson that we are thinking about here on today. And it might be somebody in your class, as you're thinking about this, who is going through some kind of struggle or difficulty, and they need to remember to be loyal to God in spite of the crowd, in spite of the circumstance, in spite of the difficulty, and allow God to show himself faithful. And we get to see that in a beautiful way here in this lesson. So, friend, if you're a Bible study teacher, I want you to hold on just for a moment. Because Christina is going to give us a powerful teaching tip, but I want to remind each and every one of us that you can get your copy of the U Bible Study curriculum by going to lifeway.com/U. That's lifeway.com/YOU. It is our urban multi-ethnic Bible study curriculum. It comes in paper and digital availability, and it aligns with our Bible Studies for Life student and kids curriculum. So there's something for everybody. You won't want to miss this lesson. So make sure you get yours right now. So Christina, come on and give us our Bible teaching tip for today.
Okay, Mark, the tip for today is make the Bible come alive. You know, idolatry in the Old Testament typically involved stone and wooden idols. We saw that today in our lesson. The idol worshipers were indeed in large numbers. Realize that today, idols may be those intangible things that we put before God, that we make more important than God. So what you can do as a teacher is make the Bible come alive, so to speak. That is, share real life situations where there's things that people make more important than God. Use personal examples, even use news headlines and stories so that learners can readily recognize that an idol is really present in our lives when we do these things, and they can see what idols look like in their 21st century lives.
Absolutely. All right. This has been a great lesson, and it's going to be a great one when you guys get together in your Bible study classes. And so you're really going to enjoy this. And join us again for another You Bible Study podcast, friends, because you never know where God will take you.